In John chapter 1, two of John the Baptist's disciples are standing along a road with John the Baptist, and Jesus passes by. And as John did, I think, every time he saw Jesus, he made a pronouncement, made an announcement. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." These two disciples of John, when they heard their leader, their master, so to speak, John the Baptist, say that, they followed Jesus. The Bible says they went home to the place that he was staying. Brother Leonard reminded us in Sunday school that Jesus never owned a home, but back to the place that he was staying. And the Bible says they spent the day with him. The first of these two disciples was Andrew. And there, along about the same chapter, along about verse 35, 36, we find that Andrew, the Bible says, went to find his own brother, Peter, and brought him to Jesus. The second disciple that's mentioned in that chapter was Philip. And he went and found this man named Nathanael. And Philip said unto him, when he went to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, I just want to remind you this morning of who Moses and the prophets wrote about. They did not write about this person we know as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. They didn't write about him in that context. Who Moses and the prophets wrote about was the Messiah. Who Moses and the prophets wrote about was the Savior. Who Moses and the prophets wrote about was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who Moses and the prophets wrote about was the Son of God. And when Philip went to Nathanael, what Philip was saying was, "Hey, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. We found the Son of God. We found the Lord of Lords and the Kings of Kings, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to Philip, he said this, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I mean, we know the reputation of the city. Is there any good thing that could come out of that city? And Philip answered Nathanael. He said, "Well, why don't you come and see? Why don't you come with me and I'll take you to Jesus and you can decide for yourself if anything good can come out of Nazareth or not." And so Nathanael went with Philip, and as they approached Jesus, Jesus said this about Nathanael. He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." What Jesus was saying about Nathanael is, here's an honest man. There's not one bit of deceit, not one bit of trickery, not one bit of untruth in him. Here is an Israelite indeed who is honest and truthful. And Nathanael said this, we read it a moment ago. He said, "Whence knowest thou me?" He said, "How do you know me? We've never met. I mean, I've never met you before. We've never been introduced before. How do you know me? How do you know about me?" And Jesus said, "Hey, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting underneath the fig tree." And here's what Nathanael said. I want you to notice how he responded to Jesus when he said, "Hey, I saw you. You were sitting under the fig tree when Philip came and got you." Here's what Nathanael said. He said, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Now, what Nathanael was saying to Jesus was, "You are the Messiah. I believe what Philip was talking about. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. I don't need any other proof. I don't need any other reason. I believe that you are the one sent from God to save us." I think Nathanael got saved. I think he got saved that particular moment, that particular day, the same way that Moses got saved, the same way that Abraham got saved, the same way that Elijah and Elisha got saved, the same way that every single character in the Old Testament got saved. Calvary hadn't happened yet. It was still a few years away, but Nathanael got saved just like everybody in the Old Testament got saved. They believed the promise of God that a Messiah was coming, that a Savior was coming. and that he was going to die for their sins. And they put their faith and trust in that coming Savior, and they were saved just like you do, by the blood of the Lamb. And when Nathanael came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Yeah, I saw you sitting underneath the fig tree," he said, "I believe in you," just like the Philippian jailer when Paul, and then when he asked Paul and Silas over in Acts chapter 16, "What must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that's exactly what Nathanael did. He believed on that one that would go to the cross and bear his every sin and die in his place. In fact, Jesus said, he said, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?" I mean, Jesus was amazed at his faith. He said, "Just because I said, I saw you sitting under the fig tree when Philip called you, that was enough for you to trust me and believe that I'm the Son of God and the Messiah?" And then he said this to Nathanael. He said, "Nathanael," and now let me put it in my own words. He said, "You ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see greater things than these." And that's my title and my theme and the one point of my message this morning: thou shalt see greater things than these. And by the way, Nathanael did. He saw a lot greater things. He heard Jesus teach. He heard Jesus preach. Nathanael got to see the hungry fed. He got to see the sick healed. He got to be there when Jesus cast out demons. Nathanael was standing by and was close when Jesus raised the dead. Nathanael himself was sent to preach the Christ that he trusted and got to see many people come to know Jesus as your Savior. He got to see Jesus crucified. He sat in the room with the other disciples for those 3 days and three nights wondering what was going to happen. And on that first Sunday night, he was there in the upper room when Jesus appeared to the disciples and said, "Come on, it's me. Touch me, feel me. I'm the one who died for you. I'm the one who laid in the grave. I've resurrected." Nathanael got to see greater things. I think if you could go to Nathanael in John chapter 21, after he'd been fishing all night with Peter, and Jesus was on the shore, and he made himself known to the disciples, and they pulled the boat in and drug the net in with a lot of fish in it, and Jesus served them breakfast there on the beach. If you could go to Nathanael in John chapter 22, in John chapter 22, and ask Nathanael, "Nathanael, did Jesus keep his promise to you? That first time that you met, when Jesus said, 'You're going to see greater things than these,' did Jesus keep his promise to you?" And Nathanael would say, "Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. I've seen greater things. It was great the day that I got saved, but I've seen greater things in the last 3.5 years than I ever thought I'd see. Yes, indeed, he kept his promise. I've seen greater things." It was a great thing. When I got saved, I was 15 years old. We were having a revival at our church in late April. It was a Tuesday night, and I had been struggling and fighting against the Holy Spirit for weeks and weeks and weeks. My pastor, who was a man by the name of Grady Baskin, a Texan at the time, saw me just about every service as we stood for an invitation, grab hold of the pew in front of me, and I would cry and I would shake and I'd say, not now, God, not now. I know I need to be saved, but I'm afraid to go down in front. I'm afraid to stand in front of all these people. When I was a kid going to grade school, my mom and dad had to send me to speech class because I stuttered, and I stuttered because I was afraid to talk. If you can believe that. But it's true. I mean, it's true. I was afraid to talk in front of people, and so I stuttered. And I didn't want to go down to the front. And I thought you had to go down to the front to be saved. And so I said no to God again that night during the invitation. On the way out, my pastors, we were shaking hands. He said, "It's time you got saved." I said, "I know." He said, "Come with me." And we went back into his office. I can remember just like it was yesterday, an old cold tile floor. And he had a red vinyl couch. plastic couch in his office, and we got down on our knees, and down on our knees on that couch on the tile floor, he took me down the Roman road. He told me I was a sinner. He told me that there was a penalty for that sin. He told me that Jesus paid that penalty, and if I trust him, he'd save me and take me to heaven. And he told me to pray. I try to help people as they pray, but he didn't do that. He said, you know what to do. You pray. And so I told God, down on my knees, I knew I was a sinner. I knew there was a penalty for that sin, and I deserved to pay that penalty. But I believe that Jesus died in my place. And I told him, if you got room for me, if you'll take me, I'll take you. And I got saved. I trusted Jesus. I came out of his office, and first person I saw was my mom. I told her. You've heard my testimony. When I got home, my dad was working. My grandma wasn't there. I called my dad at work and told him, call my grandma. That's the only time I knew she was a Pentecostal, when she reacted on the other end of the phone. But she got happy. And as I walked out of church that night, the stars were never brighter. The night never smelled sweeter. That verse that says all things became new, I lived it that particular night when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. It was a great thing. It was a great thing when you got saved. I hope as I've shared my testimony the last couple minutes that perhaps you've thought about that time when you asked Jesus to be your Savior. Don't know where it was. It was many different places for many people in this room. Don't know what time of year it was. But I hope that you spent the last couple minutes thinking about where it was that you got saved, where you asked Jesus to be your Savior. If you're not saved, I want to tell you this morning, it would be a great thing today for you to get saved today. The Bible says that now is the accepted time, that today is the day of salvation. And I'll just remind you of the same things my pastor reminded me. You're a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says that Jesus paid that penalty for us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that if we'll take him, if he'll receive him, he'll give us the gift of salvation. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, there won't be a better day for you to get saved. There won't be an easier time for you to get saved. This will be the easiest time in the rest of your life for you to get saved. You need it this morning. There's no other way to come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And it would be a great thing if you're here this morning and never have received Christ for you to get saved this morning. But I got some more good news for you, for every single person in this room. The same promise that Jesus made to Nathanael, he makes to all of us. He says, you're going to see greater things than these. Now, again, I hasten to say, salvation is a great thing. The day that I got saved and the day that you got saved was a great day. And what we experienced was a great thing. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And I don't want to diminish one bit from the day that I got saved or from the day that you got saved. That's not my intent this morning. That was a great time, a great day. But the promise from our Savior is, you're going to see greater things than these. I did. I didn't have to wait 24 hours. The next night, I walked the aisle making public my profession, or publicly professing my faith in Christ. And right behind me was my younger brother. And his testimony was, I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you. We walked the aisle together, and we got baptized the next Sunday together. And to me, that was a greater thing. It was a greater thing years later when I got to stand behind a pulpit in my home church and preach my first sermon and see a little, and it only lasted 10 minutes. And I know when I tell you that nowadays, you say, oh, preacher, I wish you could go back to your roots, preach some of those 10-minute messages. But it was a great thing years later when I stood behind the pulpit in my home church and preached my first sermon, and I got to see a little 10-year-old girl walk the aisle receiving Christ. That was a greater thing. It was a greater thing when my daughter and my son got saved. It was a greater thing. It was a greater thing when I have seen over the years God in answer to prayer heal bodies that doctors say can't be healed. See God do things in people's bodies that doctors say, no, this is impossible, it can't be done. But I've personally seen God do that in answer to prayer. And that's been a greater thing. It's been a greater thing for me to see these little children, the little babies and the little toddlers that were in this church when I first came. They're grown-ups now. And they are bringing their children to church. And their children are singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, just like they did. That's been a greater thing for me. The day you got saved was a great day. It's a great time. But you have or will see greater things than these. Jesus says, and I'll say it again, he says to us, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. You're going to see greater things than these. Some of you have already experienced the same thing that I've experienced. It was a greater thing the day you saw your children get saved. Great thing. Greater thing. It was a great thing, greater thing, when you saw your brother or your sister or your mom or dad get saved. Some of you have experienced this already. I haven't. I'm looking forward to the day. But it'll be a greater thing when you see your grandchild get saved. And some of you, if the Lord tarries, will get to see a greater thing in seeing your great-grandchildren get saved. It's a greater thing for us to see as a church God heal broken bodies. It's a greater thing for us as a church to see God heal broken hearts and broken relationships. It's a greater thing to see God take a hard-hearted, grouchy, grumpy, old, down-in-the-dumps person and turn them into sweet, sweet saints. It's a greater thing to see God work on... Peggy, I'm not going to say anything. When I start talking about taking that grumpy, hard-hearted, grouchy old person and turn him into a sweet thing, she reached over and put her arm around Harold and hugged him. A preacher can't help noticing those things, Peggy. But it's been a greater thing to see God work on us. A greater thing to see how he works in each one of our lives to make us more like Jesus, to make us more like him. And it'll be a greater thing when we leave this world and we walk through that valley of the shadow of death. We enter through a gate of pearl and put our feet on a gold street, and we see our Savior face to face. Couldn't help but think about that song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. We got some greater things in front of us. We got some greater things in the year 2006. Again, I'm not diminishing anything that's happened in the past. I'm not diminishing the day that we got saved. I'm not diminishing anything that God's done for us up until this point. But I'm going to say the same thing that Jesus said to Nathanael. We ain't seen nothing yet. We're going to see greater things than these. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I beg you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. First step you need to take is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can see a great thing and then you can see greater things. Would you do that this morning if you're not saved? Why would you wait another Sunday? Why would you wait another week? Why would you wait? Why don't you come this morning and make Christ yours? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful truth that's in this book. Thank you for the many ways that you've blessed us as individuals. Thank you for many ways that you've blessed us as a church. Thank you that most people here this morning can testify that it was a great day when they got saved, when they realized that they were a sinner, and when they took that step of faith and they trusted Jesus. What a great day. What a wonderful day. What a day we'll never forget. But Father, been so many things since then. Things that we would agree with Jesus and say, they've been greater. They've been greater. And I thank you for every Christian here this morning for the greater things that you've let us see. And Father, we know you're not done yet. We know there's greater things in the future. And so I pray that we'd be everything you want us to be, that we'd, as Christians, we'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit as he leads and directs us, and we'd be exactly what you want us to be. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus. They haven't experienced that forgiveness, that peace, that joy that most of us have when we received him. And I pray for them today, that today would be their day of salvation. Use the invitation, Father. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.